Oh, my friends, welcome back. I know you can't be as excited as we are. This is very special. Now, the sun is completely set. The breezes have dropped from 10 to 5 knots. The palm fronds are wafting in the background. We're under this beautiful, beautiful canopy. And the smoke fire, the wood smoke is wafting, Chef Eric. I know you're excited. And he'll be back with us because he's so busily preparing over there. I mean, he's actually sweating, which is not a beautiful thing to see. And before you eat, probably not something you want a visual of. But as we promised you, and I stepped out of bounds. My friends, it's not ordinary that the fat man steps out of bounds. El Jefe de Coronel doesn't usually step out of bounds. But I did. I wish I could tell you the whole story of how Don Pepin was allowed to leave Cuba. But it just suffices to say that the clothes on his back, the family, nothing, from everything to nothing, so he could come and make great cigars and really give the old Cuban style, the style that he'd helped develop, that while he was in Cuba, it was the greatest cigars in the world. And this, my father's cigars, are the only reason why. And so there is a special blend that I had. And my friends, I have been smoking cigars for 15 years. I've smoked a lot of different good cigars. But, man, I was sold on Don Pepin when I smoked. Now, is it Pelo de Oro?
Pelo de Oro.
Pelo de Oro. Well, it was close. It was amazing. And, Joseph, please let Don Pepin know how much that cigar meant to me. And we actually got to see it being made. We actually, I won't talk about the rowing contest because I didn't win. Although, but how special it is, and really what is the future? Because no one else really has it.
No. Él está preguntando o diciendo que el puro que se fumó aquella vez, que ha sido uno de los mejores puros que se ha fumado en toda su vida, y eso que lleva 15 años fumando. Cuando él se fumó ese puro, dice que le llegó y se enamoró de los puros de nosotros. Obviamente también está hablando del tabaco que nosotros tenemos, que es el Pelo de Oro. ¿Cuál es el futuro de ese tabaco, usted cree, en nuestras ligas, en nuestras líneas?
Siempre el Pelo de Oro se siembra en menores cantidades, porque es un tabaco de menor producción agrícola.
Always we grow the tobacco, which is called Pelo de Oro, in less quantities, because it gives you less type of production.
No es una semilla de las de mayores rendimientos en quintales o en libras por manzana en el campo. Ella no es de las mayores rendimientos. Al contrario, es un rendimiento promedio, más bien bajo.
He says that basically the seed of Pelo de Oro, it's not like the other type of seed that will give you a lot of pounds per each acre and a half. As you guys know, we call it manzana. That's how we roll here. It's less production, less pounds that you're going to get out of.
Ahora,
that's why it's so delicate.
Sin discusión, a juicio mío, no digo que sea así. Así pienso yo. A mi forma de pensar, es la mejor semilla de tabaco para fumar que ha existido de todas las que han hecho en Cuba.
He says, as his opinion, not talking, you know, like generally, as his opinion, he thinks that Pelo de Oro is the best seed that's ever existed in Cuba out of all the seeds, flavors and to smoke.
Para muchos científicos, esa semilla era la que fumaban ya los indios en Cuba cuando los colonizadores de España llegaron a Cuba.
He says for a lot of scientists, they think that that type of seed, the Pelo de Oro, is the one that the Indian people from Cuba used to smoke when the Spanish people came and conquered.
Es una semilla que en Cuba está prohibida.
He says it's illegal back in Cuba.
Por el problema que es muy adicta al moho azul.
The problem of that tobacco, that it's very addictive to blue mold.
O sea, es muy delicada,
it's
se enferma
delicate.
Mucho.
It gets ill a lot.
Pero si se cuida, y aquí en Nicaragua existen las condiciones para cuidarla, si se cuida y se cultiva bien en las condiciones que lleva de verdad el tabaco, cultivarlo y cosecharlo, sin duda, a mi juicio, no digo que sea así, a mi juicio personal, a mi forma de pensar, no existe ninguna semilla de tabaco, ninguna variedad, ni siquiera que se le parezca.
But again, he says, in his judgment, he's not saying that it is. Pelo de Oro, if you take care of it well, when here in Nicaragua we do have the conditions to take care of that type of tobacco. In his opinion, he thinks it's the best tobacco in the world.
Well, I got tiene todas las propiedades de decir que es un buen tabaco.
It has all the properties to say that it's a good tobacco.
Muy buena combustión.
Very good combustion.
Muy buena elasticidad.
A lot of elasticity.
Mucha grasa.
A lot of grease and oil.
Y sobre todas esas virtudes,
and on top of all that,
el aroma que tiene es exquisito.
The aroma that it gives you, it's
es un aroma dulce.
It's a very sweet aroma.
No para fumar, hasta para oler, es sabrosa.
It's not even just to smoke, even to smell, it's very tasty.
And that is why it's not Don Pepin speaking about it, it's me speaking.
Sí.
That is why when I smoked it, it was the most amazing cigar I ever smoked. My friends, the reason Don Pepin can grow this tobacco is his passion, his heart, his knowledge. You cannot get this in any other cigar.
No,
we
sir.
Saw the processes. Some of the processes, and I will not tell you what they are. You'll have
you.
To kill me. But they are so special and unique to this simple farmer's intelligence and knowledge. I would stack it against anything in the world, and if you've ever smoked a Don Pepin, you would know why. It is the greatest cigar you can possibly buy. And I'll finish by saying this. Throughout this segment, I've talked about the humility of this man. Last night while we're sitting there and he's telling us these amazing stories of his past and his future.
Correct.
He said, I will not charge way more for a cigar. I would rather charge $10 to $15 and sell many more cigars to many more people to bring much happiness instead of making much money and less happiness. And that's the kind of humble man that the simple farmer who could have had many great titles in Cuba, the greatest titles, he chose not to. I am the farmer. And if you want to know how well-respected he is in Las Vegas at the show, he stood in front of the greatest families of cigars, the most historic families of cigars, the public, everyone else. He got a standing ovation. And my friends, he's only been doing it in Nicaragua for 12 years.
He actually cried.
He did. He actually cried. That's the humility. And I will finish by saying this. In 10 years, from humble beginnings, he had the number one cigar in the world in 2012. The place to get them, any My Father's Lounge, but especially My Father's at Cutter's,
right on,
in Alpharetta, and Outland Cigars. If you go there, you'll get the whole selection. On behalf of Chef Eric and I, and Tom and our crew, I would like to present a special gift. This is something that I found, a very special piece of shell that was over 30 years in the Gulf. I created an ashtray and carved out a notch for a cigar. There's one of a kind, like this man is one of a kind. From us to you, from our heart to your heart, thank you so much for an amazing experience.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. 30 años tienes esa selfie.
Well, my friends, Chef Eric, I know you, when you and I talked about doing this, because it's one of a kind, I made it. It was very special. It was sitting in my home. And when I came here, this man has touched so many other people. I wanted, you and I talked about it, and we both agreed this is something we had to give him as a special remembrance. So forever, you'll remember Chef and the Fat Man, and hopefully we'll be invited back. You know,
definitely.
I mean, that's always a good thing, isn't it, Tom?
Well, yes, sir.
I will.
Yes,
I'll
sir.
Tell you,
we're glad,
Kevin,
to be here.
Kevin, it's pretty amazing how you make those. I mean, you're multi-talented.
Well, not as, but you know what?
That's the last
time you can't eat what I make, Chef Eric.
That's the last time you're ever going to hear me say that.
But what do you make? How's everything going over there, Chef Eric? You're over a literal wood fire burning outdoor oven.
With a couple of the largest pots I've ever seen in my life. Let me tell you what we got going on. I talked about the fritter mixture. The thing I forgot to tell you is to add in about a cup and a half of a hard, salty cheese, which we're using a local smoked cheese, and that's mixed in with the fritter mix. Okay, so that's the cheese in the cheese soup. It's not actually in the soup. Now, the soup itself, what we've done is I've got that going. It's got bell peppers and onions that were fried in oil, and you let those get tender. Then you add in roughly 3 cups of water, 2 cups of milk, and a about 2 or 3 large bouillon cubes, chicken bouillon. And you let that simmer, let that mix up a little bit, and then add in the milk at that point, not before. So add in the milk later. It'll foam up, but I'm in such a big pot here, it doesn't really matter. It settles down because there's oil in the mixture. And now I'm frying the fritters right now.
Now, Chef Eric, when we come back, are you going to have time to break away for a fire-up? And we're going to have Tom Cacadelis. We're going to fire up a My Father cigar live on the air. And what better place to do it than Finca La Estrella, the home of Don Pepin in Esteli, Nicaragua. We are Chef and a Fat Man live from Esteli, Nicaragua!